Hello and welcome to Central's podcast. We pray your heart is touched through listening and that it helps you in your walk with Jesus. This message is from one of our pastors here at Central.
It's been said several times today, but from my heart as a mother to you, ladies in the room, happy Mother's Day. God bless you in your work. It is tireless work. One of my sons reminded me yesterday that he had frozen crickets in my freezer because he had a bug project to do over at CCA one year. You know, there's things that show up in the laundry that you're like, what is this? Right? And there's things that they come home with in their book bags. And there are conversations that you have that you just have to keep a really sincere poker face and try to make it through. And there are things of motherhood that you just never expected. When I was pregnant with Isabella, I remember talking to my mom on the phone, and she asked me how I was feeling. And I said, oh, I'm just kind of tired. And she said, honey, from the moment of conception till the day you die, you will be tired. And all the moms said, amen. You know, 18 years into this, I'm still tired and I'm still learning. And I'm learning that no matter what, you can't pray enough. Moms, we can't pray enough. There's always something more. And it's not out of fear, but it's just out of praying into things for our kids. 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And even as Paula spoke today about her own son, to see your son, your daughter, walking in the truth that sets them free, right? Now, moms, I love it on Mother's Day. We pack the house on Mom's Day, right? Everybody wants to come to church with mom. But dads, I have a little bit of a challenge for you. Because customarily and traditionally in the church, the three highest attended Sundays in church are Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, and one of the lowest attended Sundays in church is Father's Day. Not this year, Papa. I challenge you, dads. Wake up early. Put your Bible on your knee. Gather your kids around and say, instead of sleeping in today or watching online, we're going to church, and lead your families to the house of the Lord. And all the men in the house said, amen. All right, nice hearty amen right there. That's good. All right, both of my moms were in first service, but they probably are watching online, so I love you, moms. That's Kurt's mom. She does attend here. Some of you don't know that. She kind of keeps a low profile just in case you say anything about her son. Did you know that? Just in case. He gets a little squirrely and you don't like it. That's Kathy, my mother-in-law. Her heart is bigger than her frame. She does so much for so many people. And then my mom, Debbie, many of you may have had her either as a teacher in the area. She was also a teacher at CCA and a Sunday school teacher here 4 years, Miss Debbie. Don't mess with Miss Debbie. So she's a diamond in the rough. My kids are all here today. My Isabella's home from school and my fearsome four. We had 4 children in under 4 years. If you don't know our story, I was like pregnant for years. And I'll never forget, we were pregnant with Sam, and I walked down the aisle and I was trying to pull my jacket around because we hadn't announced our 4th pregnancy yet. And 2 older ladies in the church went, oh yeah, she's pregnant for sure. Oh yeah, yeah. I just kind of carried it for a while. You moms, we want to equip you in our church, and so just a shout out to 2 ministries in the church who will well equip you, led by 2 dynamic women who are my fellow friends, fellow ministers, and ministers' wives. The first one is Central Moms, led by Jamie Andriola, Pastor Tony's wife. Woo-hoo! That girl is a party wherever she goes. And so Central Moms meets every other Tuesday night. They had a fabulous moms panel last week. If you saw it on Facebook, follow them on Facebook. They have a great page. It kind of links and just questions, you know, like, I can't get my baby to sleep. Can you help? But it's for moms of all ages. In the summer, they've got a lot of great play dates coming up. They sometimes just meet out for late night eats. You know, sometimes you just need a break and you need to get out and get a Pizookie over there in South Hills or go to Applebee's for late night apps and, you know, throw the laundry in and say, see ya, I'm going to get with the girls. So all these moms are gathering and they're building each other up, not only in motherhood, but also in the faith. And they also got this sourdough thing going on in our church. I just got a loaf yesterday. Thank you very much to that lady. So that's something for you. They met you at the check-in, so you would have gotten the save the date cards there as well as information, but you can see Jamie if you have any questions. Another one is Central Women, which is led by Joanna Brock, wife of Pastor Adam, and they are doing a fabulous job. Absolutely. Helping you in your pursuit, that's the theme this year, in your pursuit of the Lord. When you leave today, ladies, you'll be greeted by one of those team members with a special gift, a devotion written by you, the ladies of this church. So the voices of the people sitting in these chairs have written a devotion to help you in your walk with Christ. Listen, we are very intentional about what we do here at Central. All of our ministries are focused on helping you walk with the Lord and produce disciples. And as a mom, your first disciples are your kids. To produce disciples, followers of Christ, there's nothing greater. Listen, we can, you know, Kurt and I can come to church and lead this church, but if my four kids aren't coming to heaven with me, I don't want to do anything else. Those four are my biggest target for Christ. Amen, moms? Amen. All right, and Paula, we accept that word that this is a house of healing that's been spoken over us in the past, and we have seen healings this past weekend when we had Dan Moeller with us, so much so that there was an older gentleman here first service, and over last weekend, he was healed. It's just some ailments that he had in his lower ligaments where he walked in with the cane and he left without it, and he walked in this morning not needing it. So I praise the Lord for that. That's just one of several. We're waiting on the Lord for some other reports, just kind of seeing, because there are things that need some doctors and maybe some scans to come. And so we're just believing for that even this week as people go to see their physicians. Last but not least, moms, out front, we have a place for you to get a picture. Maybe it's youth, your kids, or your small group ladies, some of your friends. Because ladies, we're often the ones behind the camera, right? Taking pictures of the kids. But today, get with your family, get a picture out there, and tag Central Assembly of God on Facebook or Central AGPA on Instagram. All right, so today we are back in John, finishing up chapter 5 in John. Still enjoying this series? Yes, it's been awesome. And I've entitled this message, "The Proof is in the Pudding." All right? How many of you enjoy a nice pudding? Yeah, come on. You can still be a kid, no matter how old you are, and eat some pudding. Come on. Proof is in the pudding as we explore the words of Jesus and as he speaks about himself. We're also going to explore his words in a fashion. I want you to imagine that we're in a courtroom and Jesus is talking his testimony. He's speaking his testimony to the Jewish leaders. Now, you have to remember that in John chapter 5, at the beginning is when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. Well, that just got the Jewish leaders all up in a tizzy, and so they began to press him, okay? So this is the end of the chapter where the conversation is still at a halt, and they are still talking with him, and that's where we're going to finish up today. But first, what does proof in the pudding mean? Let me read this to you. The proof in the pudding is an expression that means value, quality, or truth of something that has to be judged in direct experience with it. It's based on results. Say direct experience. All right, good. Now, you have to have action with it. It's not just based on hearsay. You're not just taking someone else's word for it, okay? All right. Another variation of this is the quality, the worth, the truth. It boasts of evidence. Say evidence. Good. Now, this is an alteration of the original saying, the proof is in the pudding, is in the eating. Everybody say, eating, okay? All right. This is back from the 1600s and then trickled down to the 1900s where they kind of made it a little more shortened up. The proof is in the pudding. Now, I love pudding, chocolate, vanilla, however, butterscotch, tapioca. I really like, anybody like tapioca? Yes, thank you, good. My kids are like, no, Mom, that's so gross. I'm like, good, I'll eat it all myself. All right. Okay, but this pudding that this phrase came from has nothing to do with chocolate at all. Here's what it has to do with. It originated in the UK. It was a savory sausage mincemeat seasoned with oatmeal, boiled in a bag. I know, right? Okay, Lord have mercy. So the proof was in the pudding, so if you ate it, you would tell if it was done properly. I'm going to stick with the chocolate. Anybody else? Good. All right, we're all on the same page. Okay, so when chocolate pudding is prepared well, it's chilled to perfection. It's mixed well, right? It's velvety and smooth. And how about the old school when it was cooked on the stove, right? Like Grandma used to make. It had like that sheen top on the, you know, like I had to break through it. The proof is in the pudding. All right, so as we check out these scriptures in the latter half of John 5, Jesus is saying, hey, the proof's in the pudding. It's me. Taste and see, I'm good. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's listen to these verses.
Good morning, Central. My name is Gina Corlett, and this is Mary, and we're going to be reading from John chapter 5, verse 31 to 47. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Very precious of a mother and daughter reading that for us today. Thank you so much. You know, Jesus provides support of his own testimony. The truth of his testimony, the consistency of his testimony, and the power within it. Let's talk about the truth of his testimony today. So he tells the truth and nothing but the truth. And when he begins to talk to these Jewish leaders, he draws from their spiritual intellect. He says, you search the scriptures, but you really don't know me. So what he does is he draws from their spiritual intellect, and even the Mishnah, he talks to them. This is a compilation of 2 centuries of repeated studies. This is their study book of law. And what he talks to them about is, hey, I know why you're pressing me. I cannot stand on my own word without having 2 or 3 witnesses. And so he draws from their spiritual intellect, and he refers to things in this conversation from Deuteronomy and Matthew and 2 Corinthians and 1 Timothy. Well, those books were written later, but he knows from the Old Testament that he needs to remind them, hey, I get it. I know what you're referring to. I know why you're pressing me. Only one witness is not enough. Two or three must be provided in either to either put someone to death or to charge a crime. In the early church, Jesus taught Matthew 18, hey, if someone has offended you, you need to bring two or three witnesses to discuss the matter. Even Paul refers to the law that all his charges would be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Are you catching on? Even an elder in the church in 1 Timothy could have no charge pressed against him unless it was supported by two or three witnesses. All right, so here, who were his witnesses? One was God his Father, and the second was another. The other one was John the Baptist, his own very cousin. Now, I want to read to you Numbers 23:19. He calls on God the Father as his first witness. So imagine God the Father stepping into the witness stand. But here's what I want to read to you. God is not a man that he should lie, amen? Nor a son of man that he should repent. What he says he will not do, correct? Or what he has spoken, and will he not make it good? And think about Cousin John as the witness. Back in chapter 1, verse 15, he even says, no, Jesus is the preferred one. You don't want me. He's the one that has to come. Jesus is the one. So if you were called into the courtroom and you took the stand, you would have to take an oath to tell the truth, right? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. All right, you would be tried on your words, your testimony. But look how beautiful the words of Jesus are in this passage. They are full of truth and life. And if you look at verse 34, it all boils down to this. He says this, his words are for us to be saved. He entertains the conversations with the Jewish leaders, with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the chapters to come, and all through the Gospels, because he's bringing salvation. He's bringing salvation to us. There's no two ways about it. There's truth in his testimony. There's also consistency in his testimony. Don't you love a consistent testimony, moms? Like when you've gone to the kids and you say, all right, who did it? He did it, he did it, he did it, she did it. No, they did it, right? And there's no consistency. That's not like the Lord. Every time he was asked, all through the Gospels, all through even the book of John, his word, his testimony was consistent. It did not change. His word changes not. Even Nicodemus says to him in chapter 3 when they met in the night, he said, we know you're the teacher. No one could do these signs and wonders unless God was with him. Later in John, in chapter 9, in chapter 10, not to spoil anything because, you know, Kurt will preach on this later, but in John 9, in chapter 10, the Pharisees and the Sadducees keep arguing among themselves. They grapple, these grown men begin to grapple about Jesus's testimony of himself. The signs and wonders proved his words. There was consistency there. He says to them, you keep searching the scriptures in verse 39 and 40. You keep searching the scriptures. You think you have it all figured out. You just aren't willing to believe in me. In John 17, Jesus prays a beautiful prayer to his Father at the completion of his ministry. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you are the only true God, and I am the one you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. His testimony was consistent, even in how he spoke to his Father. His testimony was truth, it was consistent, and it is powerful. Amen. Isn't the testimony of the Lord powerful? Whose word will you believe? As he spoke to these leaders, he kept saying, will you believe? He was asking them, will you believe? He really drives home the truth. Jesus brings up Moses. Now, did you ever think, why did he bring up Moses? Why? Well, he knew, again, drawing on their spiritual intellect, that the Jewish law that refers back to them knowing or believing that Moses would have been their deliverer, but then they didn't believe in Moses. They wanted Moses to pull them out of the wilderness and draw them to the promised land, but then they didn't believe in Moses. And so he refers to this concept, which is from Deuteronomy 18. Take a look at it with me. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses is speaking, from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. And it goes on to say in verse 17, then the Lord said to me, what they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you, Moses, from among their fellow Israelites. I will put words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I commanded him. So here the Lord God sends one from out of the Israelites among them, but they did not believe again. John the Baptist attests to his own testimony and says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question here. The way that the Jewish leaders were pressing Jesus, is it any different then than it is now in our current world and state? When people say, Jesus, what do I have to believe in? Like, what's the big deal? Is it any different? Yeah, I mean, I know who Jesus is, but I don't need him. Think about it. The world keeps preaching a gospel that people follow because they think it's the only one. It's the culture of the day, right? It's the gospel of culture instead of the gospel of truth of Jesus. And people latch onto it, but there's nothing substantial. It slips through their fingers until they come into contact with the one truth way, Jesus. The world preaches a different sermon, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is consistent. It doesn't waver. It's believable and true. The testimony of who Jesus is will prove itself over and over and over again. Has it been that way in your life? Over and over and over again. I want to read a passage to you about our Jesus. It's familiar to us. It's from Isaiah 53. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground. The servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he's a nobody. He suffered and endured great pain for us. But we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way. But the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. One translation says, the Lord let fall on him all of our crimes. Think about that, all of our crimes. Jesus committed no crime, right? Jesus committed no crime. His testimony was true. Ours was the one that was, you know, tainted and fallible. The actual crime here in the passage was that they did not believe him. He says something to them in verse 42. I pray that he never has to say to us. He says, I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Those are some strong words. I know you, but you do not have the love of God in you. We can know a lot of stuff about the Lord, but what if we don't have the love of God in us? That's a strong word. Like when the end comes and he begins to divide the goats and the sheep and he says, go from me, I don't know you. Let him never say that of us. We might be surprised, but Lord, I served you my whole life. But you didn't know me. You don't have the love of God in you. Let him never say that of us. You know, Kurt touched on something at the very beginning of the series about having head knowledge but not heart knowledge, right? Just letting it simmer here but never settling in our hearts. The culture of the world versus the gospel of Jesus. The testimony of the Lord is true, consistent, and powerful. But I want to talk about our testimony. What he has done in our life, what is now our testimony? 1 Peter 3:15, we are to have this instruction, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Now, that doesn't mean that you go around thumping people with your Bible and say, listen to me about Jesus. You go, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? I mean, you ask me why I'm smiling or I'm in a good mood. Can I tell you what the Lord has done in my life? Jesus is the answer. What is the proof in your pudding? What is the proof in your pudding? What are you serving to other people? You know, we in Pentecostal circles like to use the verse in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. How many of you have heard that in a service before? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, let me give you a little lesson on that. It's a great verse. It's absolutely true. Sometimes it's misrepresented. All right, so listen. In this verse, John, the very person that we're reading from, has this revelation of what's to come, okay? An angel brings him a message, and he's so undone from it that he bows down and he begins to worship the angel. And the angel says, whoa, 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 John. No, 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 don't worship me. Worship the Lord. Worship the source of the message. And he says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But he also says to him, I am your brother who has the same testimony of Jesus too. Even the angels testify of the Lord. Come on. Even the angels have something to say about the Lord. Hey, even the demons know who the Lord is and makes them tremble, right? So if the angels have something to say and it makes the demons tremble, we better open our mouth to speak and give our testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives. Amen? All right, so what happens is this verse, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, is that every time we testify, it does prophesy into the atmosphere of things to come of what Jesus can do for someone else in their life as well. It perpetuates the power of the prophecy of his testimony in someone else's life. And someone else says, yes, I want that too. I want the Lord to do that in my life as well. How many of you have ever heard a testimony and it just built up your faith? It bolstered your faith to say yes, right? Where maybe you were downtrodden, you're like, I don't know. But then you hear the work of the Lord in someone else's life, and then you're like, yes, you're back on track, believing him again. Listen, the gavel in a courtroom would give a sentence based on a testimony, the truth of a man or a woman's word. And what he's done for us is true and consistent and powerful in our lives. Amen? It's beautiful in our lives. We have so much to say. So mom, oh, mother dear, what are you cooking into your pudding and serving to your kids? Parents, are you slathering this on the doors of your home so every time they come in and out, they see the sweetness of the Lord in your home and in your lives? It will push them to want to serve the Lord. How does this testimony play out in your life, oh seasoned Christian? Or has it become stale? Have you forgotten how to share the work of the Lord in your life? What about you? Are you a newer Christian in the Lord? Are you shouting what God is doing in your life to others to say what he has done? Yeah, I want to remind us that we are just a little after Easter. Easter Sunday, man, we praise God for all we did. The tomb's empty. God's done an amazing work. And here we are just weeks out, and this church is very quiet. Why? Is he the same God as 4 weeks ago? The same Jesus who we celebrate that walked out of a tomb? Bearing scars on his hand with your name written right there? Right? When he was nailed to that cross, your name was there and you were the joy set before him and he saw your name on his hand. Isaiah says your name is inscribed on his hand. See the same Jesus that we can testify about. Now, consider this. So Easter was April 9th, right? We're 35 days out today. That means that Friday, if we were in biblical times, humor me here for just a minute. If we were in biblical times, Jesus would be leaving Friday. If he resurrected April 9th, he'd be leaving Friday. And then just a few short days after that would be the upper room experience of Pentecost, when all the believers were gathered together. And as the announcement of tongues and fire flooded that city, people were like, hey, I hear a testimony. I hear a message. What are they saying? And Peter used the testimony of the life of Christ to proclamate to that town. And how many were saved that day? 3,000. That's right. That's a lot of people getting saved in one day by just one sermon, because it was the testimony of Jesus. We have a job to do. We have a lot to say. The psalmist writes, open wide my mouth and you will fill it, Lord. Everybody go like this. He's going to drop a word. Drop a word in your mouth, but it's already in your heart. It's already there. What has the Lord done for you? Hey, and listen, what is prophesied in the last days for us as the church? Let me remind you, in Revelation 12:11, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their... Listen, by the word of your testimony. So when all the believers are gathered together and you're telling Susie so-and-so and Jimmy over here and you're saying, what has the Lord done for you? And Barb's saying, well, he healed me from cancer. And so-and-so says, well, he healed my marriage. And so-and-so says over here. And the announcement that is going across into the heavens, into the atmosphere of the testimony of what the Lord has done. Come on, that will bind Satan for all of eternity. Come on. We will overcome him by the power of our testimony standing in the shed blood of the Lamb. I said it in first service, I'll say it now. I can't wait to see that booger bound up, because he won't mess with me, my kids, nobody else anymore, because Jesus is the King. And that testimony will stand sure. All right, here's what we're going to do. Because we're Pentecostal, we're going to get rowdy. We're going to open our mouth and praise the King of Kings. Jesus gave his testimony over and over and over until he was being led away to the cross. Then he was quiet. He came to do one job, to die for us. Right? So we could be free. I'm going to read to you a list of things. I just spent some time in prayer and just went through scripture. And what is Jesus? Who is he? What does he do? What has he done in our lives? As I begin to read this list, If there is something that you hear, yep, Jesus did that for me. Yep, Jesus did that for me. I want you to spring up to your feet. I want you to open your mouth, lift your hands. You can sing, you can clap, you can praise him, you can hop up and down. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that in my life. And I want you to begin to testify, yes, the Lord has done that. There is evidence. The proof is in the pudding, right? Because we can stand on his word. His testimony is true. Here we go. When you hear something, if it pings your heart, spring up. He is kind. He is merciful. He is love. He is just. He is forgiving. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the light. He's slow to anger. Thank you, Lord, on that. He abounds in grace. He is faithful. He is my rock. He's the breath of life. He's the bread of life. He's my high priest. He's my pastor. He's my shepherd. He's my teacher. He's my provider. He's the lifter of my head. He is my strength. He's my shield, my defender, my buckler, my high tower, my hope, my protector. He's my joy. He's my song. He's the lover of my soul. He's the life giver. He's a dream implanter. He's the seat in the pants kicker. He's my dance partner. He's my kinsman redeemer. And to some of you, he's your husbandry. He leads me. He sustains me. He nurtures me. He heals me. He helps me. He loves me. He blesses me. He upholds me. He restores me. He redeemed me. Oh, come on. He saved me. He is my all in all. And he is my very, very best, bestest, most of highest of all friend. He is my very best friend. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you for every day of our life. You've done something in our life we can testify about. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we could just praise you and praise you and praise you. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing of your great mercies and all that you've done for us. Listen, if we were in that courtroom, the gavel would drop. Listen, Jesus knew the law. He became the law. He broke that law. Come on. He abolished that law. He rewrote the law with grace. He is who he says he is. His testimony is true. The proof is in the pudding. You can take it to the bank. You can put it in your pipe and smoke it. The devil can jump in a lake, the lake of fire. The gavel has been dropped. The charges are true, so true that even on the cross, the sign said, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. The very ones who pressed him over and over again until they were perplexed. They didn't know what else to do. They tried to stone him, push him off a cliff, and then they nailed him to a cross, but they couldn't keep him down. And that's why we can testify. We can testify. Jesus, all honor and glory and dominion and power and strength is yours. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. You laid down your life so that we could have abundant life. Forgive us when we don't tell others about you. Give us someone today align our path to tell someone today, whether it's at lunch today or around our table with our families or as we walk out of here today or if we have to go to the store or the gas station. Help us to testify because we know it will prophesy of another testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We worship the source of the testimony. In Jesus' mighty name, let's just give God praise right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't eat breakfast, so I'm going to dive into this pudding. I'm joking. Ladies, as you leave today, be blessed. Hug a mother. Call your mother, right? And there is going to be a lady from Central Women Ministry Team greeting you with a gift at the back door today, that devotional. Be blessed as you go. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy the sunshine, and we will see you tomorrow on Facebook Live. Have a beautiful week. Join us for prayer this week too. Be blessed.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe and go visit centralconnect.org for more information and media.